Please turn again to Acts chapter 16. In verse 10 we read these words, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Again, ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth tonight. Child of God, you pray that the Lord will speak to hearts in the meeting this evening. Those that are not saved, that the Lord will save their precious souls. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy truth. And we know, Lord, that it's the entrance of thy word that giveth light. O God, we have learnt that today already. We thank thee for the power of the gospel of Christ. That is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And O God, we pray tonight, even in this gospel service, that there might be those who will come and trust thee as their Saviour. O God, we thank thee that you're still saving precious souls. We thank thee, Lord, for those that you've saved in recent days and recent weeks. O God, we pray tonight, while in others thou art calling, do not pass us by. O God, as you're saving in other places, save in Bethel. Save in Enniskillen. Come, Lord, even into County Fermanagh and reach down and pluck brands from the burning. O God, we just pray this earnestly for thy glory and for thy great name's sake. Fill us just now with thy gracious Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Over these past 2 weeks we have been considering highlights from the life of the Apostle Paul. And I have drawn your attention over these past number of weeks about the preaching of Paul, or Paul the preacher. In Acts chapter 9, after Paul got saved, God called him to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we found out already in these studies that not long after Paul entered the city of Damascus, when he was saved, that he preached Christ in the synagogues of the Jews. From that day until the day he died, Paul was a preacher of God's word. There's an interesting text at the end of the book of Acts. It's found in Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. We read these words, and remember, this is at the end of Paul's life. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hard house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ." Therefore, Paul's preaching in Acts chapter 9 was not a one-off. Now, we found that out this morning. We found out this morning that Paul's whole life was spent declaring the unsearchable riches of Christ. Over these past 2 weeks, we have noticed different aspects of Paul's preaching. And we have briefly mentioned the effect of Paul's preaching that it had on the hearts of those who heard him declare the gospel. Tonight, I want to draw your attention to this truth more forcibly. I want us to consider the power of Christ to save through the preaching of the gospel by the Apostle Paul. When Paul preached, souls were saved. When Paul preached, lives were changed and transformed by the power of God. That's why Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And of course, when you study the life of the Apostle Paul and the ministry of the Apostle Paul that is recorded in the book of Acts, you read of many who, after hearing Paul preach the gospel, were gloriously converted to Christ. We want this evening to consider how the Lord saves souls through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And we want to see some type of sinners that were saved when Paul declared the message of saving grace. My friend, could I say tonight that if you're in this gospel meeting and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you need to come to Christ and trust Him as your own and personal Redeemer. That's your greatest need this evening. And that's why Paul preached the gospel. Because he wanted to see men and women and young people and boys and girls saved for time and for eternity. And of course that's why we preach the gospel in this 21st century. And that's why we have this gospel meeting, Sabbath night after Sabbath night, so that men and women can have the opportunity to come and hear the message of the gospel, whereby they can hear words, whereby they can and must be saved. And I pray tonight, as we would seek to preach Christ and Him crucified, that the Lord will work on your heart and that the Lord will bring you right through to Himself. Now, I want you to notice three things here very simply at the end of this service. First of all, I want you to notice that when Paul preached, wicked sinners were saved. The vilest of men were gloriously transformed by the power of God. Look with me there at Acts chapter 16. And you will read about the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Now, the story of the Philippian jailer is a wonderful story, and I'm sure that most of us are familiar with this story of how this individual got saved. But it's interesting to note here that he was a wicked and ungodly individual. But it is interesting also to note that the Apostle Paul was sent to Philippi. He was sent to Macedonia to preach the gospel to the people of that area. And of course, Philippian jailer was one of the people of that area that Paul preached to that eventually got saved. Look what we read in verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Here the Lord is directing Paul to go into Macedonia to preach the gospel. Now, I wonder, did anyone pick up on my mistake this morning? I'm sure that many of you did, though you were probably too gracious to tell me at the door. My wife just wasn't as gracious, because when I went home, before I got through the door, before I got my coat off, indeed, she was saying, "You made a mistake this morning." And I was wanting to know what this mistake was, because it's not very often I make mistakes. And I was very curious what this mistake was that I had made. And she said, "You said when Paul preached the gospel in Acts 13 that he preached in Athens." He didn't preach in Athens. He preached in Antioch. And she was right, for once. Because Paul didn't preach the gospel in Athens until Acts chapter 17. So I had to put my arms up and I had to say, I made a mistake. But you know, there's no mistake here. Because when we read Acts chapter 16, we can see it here clearly. Of course, if I had looked at some of the verses in Acts chapter 13. The strange thing is, I had it down in black and white that he preached in Antioch. If I'd even looked at my notes this morning, I wouldn't have made the mistake. But here in Acts chapter 16, Paul is sent to Macedonia and he has entered into the city of Philippi. Look at verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. And one of the wonderful conversions that we read about here is the Philippian jailer, this wicked, ungodly individual, coming and being saved by the grace of God. Look what we read about him. Let us refresh our memories again. Look what it says there in verse 23 and 24. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, that was on to Paul and Silas. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Oh, what a wicked, ungodly individual this man was. This Philippian jailer was a wicked individual. He was a brutal man. He had no time for the gospel, nor had he any love for the servants of Christ. This man had no fear of God and no thought about where he was going to spend eternity. He was godless. Look at verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. So ungodly was this man that he had no fear of death. He was going to take his own life. And yet, in the midst of all these circumstances that we have here in this chapter, the Lord reaches down and saves this individual for time and for eternity. The Lord, in his mercy, saved him and forgave him. And what a wonderful change came about in his life. Now, of course, we read about his conversion there in verses 30 and 31. Those famous words. Look at them. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, this is the jailer. What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And then look at the change that came into his life. Verse 32. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Now, what a transformation took place in this jailer's life. One minute he's whipping Paul and Silas. One minute he's putting their feet fast in the stocks. One minute he's brutally manhandling them and casting them into the prison. The next minute, after he's saved, he's taking them out of the prison. He's bringing them into his own house. He's washing their stripes. He's setting meat before them. And he's rejoicing in the God of glory. All because Paul preached Christ unto him. Oh, the point that I want to make is simple, but I believe it's a very, very wonderful thought. The Lord can save wicked sinners through the preaching of the gospel. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus at cleansing receives. The Bible says that God can save to the uttermost all that come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, in the book of Isaiah, we read these words. Is not my word as like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Thank God, when God's word is preached, God will take that word and save the hardest and the ungodliest of men. My friend, I don't care who you are tonight. You might count yourself as a hard man, as an ungodly individual, as a wicked sinner. You may look upon yourself as someone who does not fear man nor God. But let me say this evening, the Lord is able to save you. The Lord is able to change your life. And child of God, this is something that we must never forget. No matter how hard the times may be, thank God, there's no one too hard for the Lord to save. We have seen that already in these studies. Because the Lord here has saved the chief of sinners, saving the Apostle Paul himself. And we considered what a great sinner he was. But here we have another example. As Paul preaches in Macedonia, as Paul preaches in the city of Philippi, my, the Lord begins to work even in this prison cell. And here we have an ungodly man, and he falls down upon his knees, and he cries out, "What must I do to be saved?" The Lord takes a dealing with him. And the Lord saves him. And through the witness of Paul and Silas, of course, it has to be said, this man came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how hard a man is. I don't care how ungodly a man is. Thank God, the God of heaven is able to save and able to change that wicked, ungodly man's life for time and for eternity. Now, take a look at Acts chapter 16 again. Because as Paul preached, Not only did wicked sinners get saved, ungodly men like the Philippian jailer, but I want you to notice that when Paul preached, religious sinners were saved. Now you might say to me, well, do religious sinners need to be saved? Yes, they do. And we have an example of a religious sinner getting saved in this chapter. Take a look with me at verse 14. And look at the words very carefully. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. They heard Paul preach the gospel, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I wonder, have you ever studied Lydia's life before? I'm sure that many of you have, but maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not saved and you haven't studied Lydia's life. Maybe you have never heard of Lydia before. Lydia was a woman who feared God before she was saved. She was a woman who worshipped God before she was saved. She was a woman who wanted to be in the prayer meeting. Indeed, look with me there at verse 13, and you'll see that's exactly where Lydia was when she heard Paul preaching the gospel to her. And on the Sabbath, it was the Lord's day, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city of Philippi, by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, the women of whom Lydia was one of them. So here we have an individual, a young woman, and she's in the prayer meeting, the place where prayers want to be made. It's the Sabbath day. She's there because she is a religious woman. And yet as she sat in this prayer meeting, and as she listened to the Apostle Paul preach the gospel, something happened that had never happened to her before. The Bible says here in verse 14 that the Lord opened her heart and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You know what that means? That means that she realized that she was a sinner and that she recognized that the one that Paul was preaching about, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the Savior. She had never recognized that before. She had never come to that conclusion before. This was new to her. And as the Lord opened her heart through the preaching of Christ, she got gloriously saved for time and for eternity. Now, what do we learn here? Well, we learn many things, but we learn this. You can be religious and not saved. You can come to church every week and still be lost. You can even come to the prayer meeting and still not be a child of God. Religious people need to be saved as much as wicked, ungodly sinners like Saul of Tarsus and the Philippian jailer. Religious people, thank God, can be saved. And here we have an example of this set before us. We have the contrast here in this chapter. A wicked sinner, a religious sinner, one who feared no one. He did not fear God. He lived his life in sin. He got saved. And then on the other hand, we have a religious woman who wanted to worship, who wanted to go to the prayer meeting, and yet she was still unconverted. Oh, my friend, going to church is not enough. Reading a Bible is not enough. Saying prayers is not enough. Being good living is not enough. You need to be saved by the grace of God. Now, there are other examples of this in the Bible. Nicodemus. I'm not going to go into the conversion of Nicodemus again, because it's a well-known conversion. But Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. But Jesus told him, you must be born again. But I want you to turn over, keep your hand in Acts chapter 16, and turn over for a moment to Acts chapter 8, because we have another example of a religious man getting saved. the Ethiopian eunuch. And this time, Philip preached to him. Look what it says there in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. Now underline this. Here's what we're told about this Ethiopian eunuch. And had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This man was a religious man. He had gone up to Jerusalem to worship. To worship God. And look at verse 28. Was returning after he had been up to Jerusalem. After he had been in the temple. After he had worshipped God. He was returning home again. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. So not only had he a desire to worship, not only had he a desire to be in the house of God, in the temple, for that's where he would have worshipped in Jerusalem, but this religious man had a desire to read the Bible. He was reading Isaiah's prophecy, but he still wasn't saved. Now you've got to see that, men and women, especially if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You've got to see that. Acting like a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. Talking like a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. Reforming your life doesn't make you a child of God. Going to church does not save you. Reading your Bible does not save you. Even going into the house of God and worshipping does not make you a saint of God. Because it's clear as we read on down this passage of Scripture that this Ethiopian eunuch was not a Christian. He was not saved. Take a look there at verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? He couldn't understand what he was reading. He was reading about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was reading about the death of the Son of God. This was a prophecy that he was reading. Isaiah 53. But he couldn't understand who he was reading about. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't know the Messiah. He didn't know the Christ of God. Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There we have the moment of his conversion. But he wasn't saved until verse 37. Oh, men and women, can you see what I'm trying to set before you tonight? It's a simple truth, but it's an important truth. All men, irrespective of how they live their lives upon this earth, whether they are churchgoers or not, whether they are religious or not, all men need to be saved and to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Redeemer. Listen, can you look back to a day in your life when you asked the Lord to save you, when you cried unto him, Lord, save me, when you believed on the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer? Can you? Because if you can't, all the religion that you have will do you no good. You'll go to hell with your religion. You will. I don't care who the person is. When Paul preached, wicked sinners were saved. When Paul preached, religious sinners were saved. And Paul didn't make a difference when he preached. He preached
to the religious and he preached to the irreligious. He preached to the Jew and he preached to the Gentile. Because he knew that they all needed to come to a personal faith in Jesus Christ. And my friend, you need to come to a personal faith in Jesus Christ tonight. Wouldn't it be sad if you came to Bethel Free Presbyterian Church all your life, sat under the sound of the gospel all your life, lived a good upright life, sought to do that which was right, and then ended up in hell? That would be a tragedy. That would be a tragedy. And yet there are men and women right across Ulster, right across this world tonight, and they're sitting in churches. And they believe because they are worshipping God. They believe because they're attending a house of worship that they're on their way to heaven. Oh, I pray tonight that God will open your heart to see your need of God's salvation. Now, there's one thing I want to say before we close, and it's this. When Paul preached, sinners were saved despite the hindrances of Satan. You know, as Paul preached the gospel, he knew the attack of hell. The devil fought Paul every step of the way. In 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 18, Paul said, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Therefore, as Paul went about the countryside preaching Christ, he was hindered by the devil. Satan will seek to hinder the preaching of God's word. Child of God, we should never forget that. Whenever the gospel is preached, the devil or his demons will do all in their power to seek to hinder the proclamation of God's precious, precious word. Turn over to Acts chapter 13 again. A portion of scripture we were reading this morning, but take a look with me at verse 5. There is a wonderful portion of scripture, but it shows us clearly how the devil sought to hinder the preaching of the gospel as Paul preached. And when they were at Salamis, Paul here is in the island of Cyprus. He's preaching the gospel in the city of Salamis. It says there, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So Paul's doing what he always does, preaching the gospel. But look what it says in verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elmas, here's the servant of the devil, Elmas the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. It's a familiar story. I'm sure that you've read it many times, but maybe you're here tonight and it's not a familiar story to you. Paul here is preaching, and as he preaches, the devil seeks to hinder the preaching of the gospel. And this man, Sergius Paulus, has an interest to hear the gospel. He's not saved, but he's going to get saved. But the devil is going to do everything within his power to stop this man coming from Christ. And that's what the story here is all about. But in spite of the hindrances of the devil, in spite of the power of hell, Sergius Paulus gets gloriously saved. Take a look with me at verse 12. Then the deputy, Sergius Paulus, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Here we have Paul preaching, the devil hindering, but God undertaking. I wonder tonight, as you're gathered in this gospel meeting, my friend, has the devil been hindering you from getting saved? As you've sat and listened to the gospel in this place, week by week and month by month and maybe year by year, and you know that you need to be saved, and you even know how to be saved,
But you haven't taken that step. And the reason why you haven't taken that step is because the devil has been hindering you. You see, the devil doesn't want you to get saved. The devil wants you to go on in your sin. The devil wants you to hold on to your sin for another week. And then when next Sunday night comes, he said, listen, hold on to your sin just another week. And then when next Sunday comes, he said to you, listen, just wait for another week. Put it off for another week. How many weeks have you been putting off God's salvation and you're still not saved? My friend, the devil will tell you to put off the day of salvation until the day you die. And then you'll lose your soul in hell forever. But thank God. Thank God that despite the hindrances of the devil, the Lord will bless his precious, precious word. The importance of preaching the gospel cannot be emphasized, overemphasized. The preaching of the gospel of Christ is the only way that sinners can be enlightened to the truth and Satan defeated in his attempts to prevent sinners from getting saved. We're all familiar with that verse in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3-6. We read there in that portion of Scripture that the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the activity of the devil. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. O child of God, we are never to stop preaching the gospel. We're never to stop preaching God's word, because that's what the devil fears. The devil fears God's word going forth in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, no matter how hard times may be, no matter how difficult it is to get people in, to get people saved, we should never stop preaching this message. Because it's the only message that can defeat the power of hell. God has so ordained it. Oh, sinner, the gospel has been preached to you. Don't allow the old devil to bring you down into hell with himself, because that's where he's going sooner or later. When the Lord Jesus comes back again, the devil's going to be taken and cast into hell. Don't go to hell with the devil. But come to Christ. The Lord loves you. He died for you. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message we want to preach. The Savior shed his precious blood. And thank God, because of that sacrifice on Calvary's cross, you and I can be saved. You and I can have our sins forgiven. You and I can have a home in heaven. That's the wonderful message of the gospel. Would you accept the Lord tonight? Would you trust him tonight? Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. When Paul preached, wicked sinners were saved, religious sinners were saved, and sinners were saved despite the hindrances of the devil. And thank God when we preach the gospel today, those things will still happen. O child of God, let us believe it and let us pray for it and let us never forget it. And sinner, if you're found here tonight without Christ, you've listened to the preaching of the gospel long enough, come to Christ tonight. Don't listen to the lie of Satan any longer. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us all pray.